and the people who love them.
Hello, welcome back. This is The Thing About Cars coming to you from Strongbox West in beautiful Atlanta, Georgia. It's a spectacularly beautiful day outside today, but your loving crew is sitting here inside a very cool conference room. Real quick, around the table, we've got
Ben,
Ronnie,
Becca,
and...
Well, I'm your guest today. They call me Flip. I'm Ben's brother.
Flip, Ben's brother. And I think we should just jump right in. What, Flip, what's on your mind today? You wrote something up on the board. We called it...
Well, he wrote it up there. I was going to say Prius, but he put dog versus Pius. Yes. I drive a Prius, and a couple of weeks ago, I had an unfortunate incident in which a dog darted out in front of my car. It didn't end well for him.
I don't know if I want to hear this story.
Well, that's the end of the nastiness. A panel underneath the air dam on the front of my car broke, and a mechanic just took it off, and the car has been perfectly fine without it. So I was kind of thinking about, you know, the useless panels on cars, as I like to call them. Why do they design them and build them? But, you know, that's not really what's on my mind, actually.
What's on your mind?
What's really on my mind is there's a little-known fact that one of the most prolific car designers of the 1980s lived right here in the Southeast.
No kidding.
And I found some information about this person, and I've shared it with Mickey. And Mickey, I think you have it there. Can you...
Let's give that to my brother.
These are some car drawings that he did back in the mid-80s, 1984 to 1986, and we have copies to pass around.
So everyone can,
and I understand, we're going to put these on the website?
Yeah, we will get scans up on the website.
I was going to say,
these things are works of art.
The real embarrassing thing here is that this is not a visual format. So
Right, but you know, we're going to take care of that.
And to our listeners, what we're looking at here is, you know, you have those moments when you're a kid, maybe a young teenager, and you're either writing in your diary or just doodling in a notebook or something like that. Well, our beloved Ben has quite a collection of really, really spectacular designs.
Yes, I encourage you to go to the website. Some of these are phenomenal. Yeah. The detail, I mean, the thought that went into a lot of them. Some of them are absolutely hilarious, and a lot of them are brilliant. They're really brilliant.
Real spacing on this one.
A couple of them scream 80s, right? It's just like... just amazingly cool.
My artistic eye was a bit cartoonish at the time. Some of the proportions are a bit weird.
Well, you want to walk us through a couple of these?
He's not even looking at him here. I think he's trying to block him out of memory.
I feel like he memorized all of these before.
Too far, though. I mean, no, it's not really cartoonish or anything to apologize for. They're really good drawings.
Well, thanks. Yeah,
they are very 80s based.
Oh, they are. Yeah, this was the 80s when I was doing this.
Did you even have any idea that these still exist?
I was vaguely aware that they did in a box at our mom's house or something.
Right. I was cleaning out our mom's house to sell it, and I found them. And
oh, my.
These are amazing, Ben.
My wife, Becky, is with us, too. My wife, she was the one who actually said, we need to get these to Mickey and put them on the show.
Very cool that you did that.
Why is everyone that comes on the show a Becky or a Becca? My wife is Becky as well.
Yeah, I've been wondering that for quite some time.
We're just lucky.
We're the Heathers. We're the new Heathers. If you ever saw that movie?
Yes. I think my favorite out of the whole book is one called The Rad Ninja. It was either towards the front or towards the back, but it was so 1980s. You just couldn't help but like it.
Well, there's one in here that needs to be the futuristic self-driving car, the Lamborghini.
Bravissimo.
Like, I have a soft spot in my heart for a couple of these immediately, right?
I remember this one. Yeah.
The Rad Samurai.
Yes, this was something I did. I don't know if anybody remembers it, but back in the 80s, there was a magazine published by the Peterson Publishing Group, same Peterson who founded the great car museum in Los Angeles. Peterson Publishing had a magazine called Cartoons. It was basically a hot rod comic book, and they would take reader submissions. You could win cash prizes or something, and this Rad Samurai was one I did for that. I don't remember if I ever sent a copy to them or not. But I do know that it never got published.
So you did actually send these illustrations to people from time to time?
Well, like the Rad Samurai, and there was a nuclear-powered Mustang that I think I did send to Peterson at one time. It was like a 67 Fastback GT or something with nuclear cooling towers coming out of it.
That kind of leads me into your prediction of the future here. I just stumbled across the 2000 Alfa Romeo Alfetta GT, which you designed in 1986.
Ooh, I don't remember this one.
Did you say Feta GT? Like, as in feta cheese?
Alfetta. Alfetta. Like Alfredo and feta.
Well, an Alfetta would have been a smaller Alfa in Italian.
I have to pick on the 1985 Plymouth Reliant. Well, not a car I would have picked to draw.
Yeah, that was a weird exercise because my dad at the time had a job working for the state of Georgia. He had to use state motor pool cars to go around and make court appearances. And I thought to myself, why not take – because those state motor pool cars are very boring. They're generally four-door cars painted white.
Well,
I thought,
K cars, yeah.
Why not take a white K car, put the little 2.2 turbo that they had, and stick that in there and a couple of little performance mods, be a total sleeper. Yeah,
true.
Five-speed
well, Ben, pick one of these and walk us through it if you don't mind.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Anyone. It could be one at random if you want.
Let's see.
And seriously, folks, these drawings are amazing. Like,
yeah, I can't wait to put them up online. We may have to actually feature these one at a time.
Yeah,
like,
well,
I feel like we could do a month-long segment on Ben's drawings alone. This is so phenomenal.
3 months long. Yeah.
Well,
year long.
My book of the originals here just flopped open on a page that has the Nissan Minima, and of course,
yeah, I remember the Minima. I liked that.
The only idea there was they make a Maxima, why not have a Minima? So
is this the GTU special?
Yeah, so I drew up this totally kind of IMSA racer, you know, styled little itty-bitty micro hatchback.
Okay, I need to build this one, the brush bug.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
I love that big old
I feel like someone actually made that. Like,
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, it's somewhere in between the Super Beetle and a buggy, maybe.
Yeah, it was my take on, you know, kind of off-road modified Beetles that were big back in those days.
Dual carb. What you got on this thing? I'm trying to skim through, see what you.
So wait, we're talking about one, right? We talked about the Nissan Minima. Take us back to that, Ben.
It was just kind of a play on the name, really. The Nissan made and still makes a car called the Maxima.
Yes.
So I thought, why not have a Minima?
Right.
And that's all it really was. And of course, instead of drawing it as the stock little hatchback, I drew it as a total raced out, you know, performance special.
I think that's perfect. I think even in today's vocabulary, this fits right in with tuner culture, right? You get the small econo box and you soup it up.
It's pretty much a Yaris.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty
much. A Yaris crossed with a Geo Metro is what I'm looking at right now. And a completely boxy 80s interior dashboard and console, which I love for many reasons.
Well, maybe that's what Sentra means.
I don't know.
So what do you think, Ben? Should we examine one of these on a weekly basis?
Whatever you want.
Until the thing grows. Are you still drawing cars?
I'm not.
Why not?
Yeah.
This is so good.
Stereo.
Well, thanks. It was just sort of a thing at the time. It was what I did when I was bored in my classes in high school. I would say
that was what our mom said. You were doing this when you should have been doing homework. So
well, there was. Huh?
That I agreed. You should have been doing schoolwork.
Yeah, well, there was a moment when I was sitting in my U.S. history class drawing a car, and the teacher was a very, you know, kind of cool guy. He liked being in touch with the students. And so one day he said, all right, we're going to have a little rap session. What's on anybody's mind? You know, how can I help you understand history better? And one kid piped up and asked why he got on all their cases about everything and just kind of ignored me while I sat there and drew cars. And he said, well, because he's making A's. Next question.
Good answer.
And I was. I was doing very well in the class. Yeah. I may have been drawing the car, but I was listening to the history.
Sure. This is way too fun, Ben. Okay.
I can't get over like this detail. Like for the listeners, just so, I mean, maybe it'll translate online, but to like really give you a concept of what these drawings are like, on one page, it's a profile view, a front view, a rear view, and then a broken down interior view of the vehicle. And then if you flip the paper, you can see skeleton drawings of what would be on the inside. And since it's like paper with dark ink, it all transposes and lays over. Like, this is brilliant.
Oh, I'm looking at which one you've got there. I did do a fairly stock Minima. Okay. That clears things up for me. Yeah, see, it's got all the, like, 85 Maxima styling cues hammered down.
This is totally why I felt like a retard when I drew when I was in, like, middle school and high school. Like, this is... Ben, you're the kid that made me feel like a doofus. Like,
oh, well. Glad to be of service, I guess.
My drawings were so bad. Like, this is great.
Yeah, this I could never, in any of my great doodling days, I could never have produced anything of such precision.
I'm glad you guys dig it.
Yeah.
The thing that amazes me most about these is that they were drawn 1984, 1986, somewhere in there.
Pretty much.
These pictures are as old as I am.
And that's all Becky's going to say on the matter.
Yeah.
Son of Pininfarina. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, the humor in some of these I just love.
All right, so we're going to have to call this Ben's diet. No, what are we going to have to call this then?
Oh, I don't know.
It's, I think that was Design Tech.
Yeah, Design Tech. There we go.
Oh, yeah, that was a cheesy name I thought up for the notebook I kept him in.
Yeah, but Cheese's Milk's Great Leap Toward Immortality.
Okay, I love the cheesy name. From now on, we're going to have a Design Tech segment until we run out of content.
Or, you know, you have things like Ford Motor Company and you call them FOMOCO. You could be BenMoCo.
BenMoCo.
I feel like Ben is just, he was just like, wrong place, wrong time to compete with Chip Foos.
Maybe so.
I think this is a, I don't know.
I don't know. If we can get our TV show up and off the ground, it may not be much of a competition.
Well, the thing was, at that tender age, my dream actually was to be a car designer. I had no clue how to make it happen, how to get into the field, how to do it or anything. Yeah. I was a kid growing up in a town in Alabama, you know, who read a lot of Road and Track.
Right.
Oh my gosh, this is great. There's a drawing of a car called an HP220X, and the only other verbiage on the whole page is how fast ? It's amazing.
Yeah, and I like some of the jabs at the car makers, like on the Parallel Earth Vet, it says a competent GM.
That was the Roger Smith era. Yeah.
Ben, thank you. And thank you for letting us mildly roast you with these things.
They didn't have much choice.
Right.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I can't wait to dig into these with a little more specificity, because I think there's some really cool drawings here, and I am enjoying them greatly. It's totally waking up something that I haven't actually experienced since I was a teenager. And I got to thank you for it. So,
well, and I was going to ask, do you have a good scanner at home?
I do. Okay. Oh, well, I have a decent scanner at home. I wouldn't call it good, but we need to scan these things and get them up.
I was about to say, if you want me to, I can take them home with me and scan them.
If we'll have to talk about that offline. I can do it. If it's easier for you to do it, let's figure that out.
Yes, the people need to see this.
This is very cool. All right. Real quick, let's knock out one other topic, and then we'll wrap this episode, because our guests for the next episode are already here.
I'm kind of thinking his beginning into this, his segue, was not really a joke. I have a feeling the poor dog probably did. But I wanted to make a little comment with the unnecessary plastic panels underneath a car.
Yes.
That a lot of people that I know, especially in Mustang circles, have learned the hard way. You think they're unnecessary, and then suddenly your car overheats and realize, oh, that's called an air dam. That's responsible for directing air up. So let's not, just side
note.
Yeah,
I know there's definitely a reason why they take the time to design them and make them and put them on there. But like the one I lost on the bottom of my car, I got online and so many people have said, I've been driving around for 100,000 miles without it and there's no problem. So.
That was a topic in the Lotus community when I had the Esprit for a while, because there was a tray under the engine in those cars that apparently they do quite fine without, but some of the originality sticklers are trying to track these things down.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then there's one on the bottom of my Mazda that they had the brilliant foresight to put a little door within the big panel so that I can change the oil without having to pull down 8 cubic yards of plastic.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. In fact, I've lost that little door completely. It's fallen off, and the car is just fine. Yeah. So, you know.
I was underneath an Escalade recently. A woman was in a parking lot, and her gravel pan had completely fallen off and was hanging by like one little piece of plastic. And she's like, is this drivable? So I'm like, well, let's take a look. And I'm getting under there, and I'm feeling around. I managed to cut my hand open in the process.
Oh, no. Mm.
And I'm like, just go home. It's fine. There's nothing vital here. If it comes off, just go to a junkyard and get a new one. Or, you know, an awesome new one.
Or always keep zip ties in your car.
Zip ties.
Yeah. That's something I've done to my air dam when it's gotten knocked. It's funny, get zip ties and it'll hold it up.
That would have been my suggestion, except on this particular Escalade, there was no convenient way to do that. I don't know why they engineered it that way, but there was no nice set of holes that you could get into to use a zip tie with.
They didn't want zip ties on it.
Because it's a GM product, and as Ben noted in the 80s, they're not very competent.
See, I can start a whole segment on the competency of GM here. But
Or lack thereof. Yes.
GM, if you're listening, please don't take us to court.
We got time for one more. Oh, you know what we haven't done? We haven't done car trivia for the day.
Oh, that's right.
Should we just do that?
Yeah, why not? Let's get one in.
All right. So in this segment of Jalopy Joust,
what we're doing?
Well, that's one of the names that came up. And so I think the names that keep floating up as my favorites, and we probably should decide which one, is I kind of like Grand Trivia Auto, and I kind of like Jalopy Joust. It's just got a certain kind of...
It's got a nice ring to it.
Jocular ring to it, yeah.
Jocular. I thought you liked Carnal Knowledge.
Carnal Knowledge. I like that too, but you know, you have to work too hard to make that work. in writing.
Just emphasize the word car.
Carnal knowledge. No, we're going to go Jalopy Joust, I think, unless a listener has a better suggestion. So our trivia question for the day, Jalopy Joust question for the day is, what was the first car to come equipped with anti-lock brakes? Was it the Lincoln Continental Mark III? Was it the Shelby Cobra? Was it a BMW 1600? Or was it a Jensen FF?
Say the question one more time.
What was the first car to come equipped with anti-lock brakes? Is he cheating over there?
No.
I'm pulling foul with the phone over here.
I can't see Ronnie through the jungle that's in the middle of the table at the moment.
Coming through the leaves. It's my email.
It's some nice foliage they've added to the table.
Because our guest Flip has dropped a bunch of daffodil plants in the middle of the at the table, and I can actually not see all the way through the table.
Yeah, he forgot to take him home when he was visiting our mom the last time, so she said, take him the plant.
Right.
So there was a Lincoln, there was a Shelby,
Lincoln
there
Continental,
was a
Mark
III, BMW.
BMW 1600, and a Jensen FF. No cheating.
I'm definitely going to say not the Shelby.
Yeah, that's the first to knock off, I would think.
Ben has got a deep...
I'm inclined to think maybe the BMW.
Okay, Ben's going BMW.
But Jensen is such an odd ad. I'm somewhere with the BMW, but it's an odd one to stick at the end.
The Jensen playing, would be my other pick.
Becca's playing the test-taking route and going with the
unusual. Yes, I'm
answer.
Eliminating,
yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Flip, you got a guess here?
No, I'm not a car guy.
You're not a
car guy.
Wait,
I'm really
just
not.
Here for fun.
I'm just here to poke fun at my brother. Yeah,
right, you show up with...
Yeah. Right.
Next time you come, I hope that a dog wasn't involved.
Yes, me too.
Yes. Okay.
I feel bad for exploiting a dead dog to poke fun at my brother.
All right. So the answer to that question is...
I'm going
to
guess Lincoln.
You're going to listen. Ronnie's going to guess Lincoln. Okay.
I'm going to guess Lincoln.
So the first car to come equipped with anti-lock brakes was, in fact, the Jensen FF.
See, my process elimination was getting me there.
Yes. And the write-up on that I have here, the little bit of research, is that the Jensen FF was the first car to include anti-lock brakes, which came, the Jensen FF came with equipped with the Dunlop Maxaret anti-lock braking system, originally developed for use on an aircraft. So although crude by today's standards and totally unreliable back then, the FF's anti-skid system was a huge technological breakthrough at the time. 3 years later, in 1969, the Lincoln Continental Mark III approved on that idea, placing sensors on the rear wheels that modulated pressure on the rear brakes when they began to lock up. So that was the first attempt back in 1966.
As I recall, the Maxaret was just a rear-wheel system, too. I read something about it, and this is why I'd gone with the BMW as my guess, because I, for some stupid reason, was recalling it as a Bosch product.
Sure.
I think you're thinking about the Mercedes Bosch ABS system.
Probably, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you, as always, for joining us out there. We very much appreciate our listeners and all the comments and suggestions you give us. If you've got an item for trivia, please send it to us. Otherwise, all questions and feedback can be given to us on our Facebook page. Find us at The Thing About Cars or via our website, thingaboutcars.com. We will look forward to seeing you with our next episode. In the meantime, be safe out there. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.